Welcome to the LYA podcast. Liberty Young Adults exists to discover the community that you were created for and to follow the purpose God made you for. This podcast was created so that you can catch up on the sermons that you might have missed or just want to listen to again. Here's Pastor Corbett.
Amen. You guys can be seated tonight. What a powerful time of worship that we had as we opened up, and I hope you caught the heartbeat of what was being communicated through that worship, that everything that we do here is about lifting high the name of Jesus. And that's our prayer as we continue throughout the night, that all that we say, that all that we do, that everything that's discussed is about magnifying the name of Christ. And so we're so glad that you've joined us tonight. If it's your first time, welcome. My name is Pastor Corbett. I have the joy of serving as the next gen pastor here. We're glad that you're here. You joined us on a unique night in Liberty Young Adults, but I'm confident that you're going to leave here tonight challenged, motivated, and I pray that God uses our time together in a powerful way. We're going to have the opportunity to hear from a few individuals from within our ministry, and we're also going to get a chance to hear from our missions pastor, Pastor Ken McLemore. But on top of all of that, you're going to hear about opportunities where you can get plugged into the work that God is doing right here in this community, but also around the world. And so it's really, I shouldn't be shocked by this, or I shouldn't be surprised by how God works things together. But as I was preparing for tonight, it was just incredible to see how God orchestrated the series that we've been walking through with this night that we've been planning to talk about missions in our young adult ministry. If you've been with us over the last several weeks, we've been walking through a series called The Road to the Resurrection. And for several weeks, we've been looking at the events that took place in Jesus's life leading up to his crucifixion and ultimately his resurrection. Last week, we finished that series by talking about the resurrection of Christ. And one of the things that we pointed out was the fact that he is not here, for he is risen as he said he would, is what the passage says. And so really one of the main points that we took away from that message is that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. But what's so incredible about this passage, the passage we read from last week was Matthew chapter 28. When you skip down a few verses in the chapter and get to the end of Matthew 28, you see Jesus' final command or commissioning that he gives his disciples before he ascends into heaven. So we have the resurrected Lord meeting with his followers, and he gives them one last message before he ascends to be with the Father. And this is important, because if you think about it, anytime you think about the last time you have the opportunity to talk to someone, maybe it's before they go to do something important, maybe it's before you leave, maybe you think about someone who's nearing the end of their life. If they know this is the last words that they have to share with someone, they're going to tell them what's most important. When time is short, you say what's most important. And tonight, I want you to see what Jesus shares with his followers in Matthew chapter 28. Starting in verse 16, it says this: "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Y'all, I think we could do probably a whole series on this passage. And so I'm going to try my best to keep this short so that you can hear from the others that are going to be sharing tonight. But I really just want to focus on those few verses for just a minute. Jesus tells his disciples that they are to go and they're to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that he has commanded them. And so the final message that Jesus gives to his followers, to the men that had been walking with him for several years now, to the men that had seen him crucified and now risen from the dead, is that they're to go and they're to share with the world what they've witnessed. These were men that, as we look throughout our series, they were terrified. That when Jesus was arrested, they fled. They were in hiding. They had forgotten the promise that he had given them that he was going to raise from the dead. And now that he is risen, the calling that he puts on their life is that they are to go and they're to take the gospel to all nations, to all people, so that they might hear the good news of who Jesus is and they might believe. I even hesitate with using the phrase command, because I think when we say that, it kind of carries a negative connotation of like, this is something that they had to do. And if that's the way that you view sharing your faith or sharing the gospel or telling other people about what Christ has done in your life, I want to help you see that differently. That yes, Christ does say that you are to go and you're to tell and you're to help people grow in their faith. But the reality is he's calling you to go and to share the greatest news that has ever existed with people that are desperately in need of it. That this is God's plan to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and he welcomes us and allows us to be a part of it. It's such an incredible privilege and opportunity that we have. It shouldn't be something that we look at and think, oh, but I just hate talking to strangers, but I just get nervous when I talk about those things. These disciples couldn't help but to go and to share what Christ had done because they had experienced something incredible. The command that Christ gave them was to go and to make disciples of all nations. And so tonight, as you have an opportunity to hear from some of our young adults, as you have an opportunity to hear from Pastor Ken, I want you to really walk away with this truth, that we are called to take the gospels to our neighbors and to the nations. That we have a call to take the gospel to the person that we sit beside at work every day and we talk to the person that lives next door to us, to the person that's always beside us at the gym, that we have been called to take the gospel to the people we come in contact with every single day. But we've also been called to take the gospel to the people that have little to no access to it. That there's people around the world that they don't have the privilege of being able to go to a young adults group on Tuesday night. They don't have a church nearby where they can go and hear the good news of who Jesus is. Some of them, they don't even have the Bible translated in their own language. And so we have been called to go and to take the good news to these people. And what I love about our strategy here at Liberty is that we go to those who are unreached. We go to the people that have little to no access to the gospel. And Pastor Ken, I'm sure, will share some of that with you later on tonight. But this command that Jesus gave to his followers 2,000 years ago still applies to every single follower of Jesus today, that we've been called to go and to make disciples, to share the good news of who he is with people, to teach them what he has commanded and help them grow in their faith so that they can go and they can make more disciples. You see, when we gather on Tuesday night, I love seeing a room full of people here that are ready to worship the Lord, to learn from his word. But you know what excites me even more than that? When some of you come and you say, hey, Pastor Corbin, I want to share a story with you. There have been several of you recently that have come and said, I got to tell you about the opportunity I had to share my faith with my coworker, and I had the opportunity to lead a coworker to Christ, or I had an opportunity to meet up with this person and to share the gospel with them. Why? Because you're getting it. Because it's not just about coming here every week and learning and growing and doing it over and over again. We come here and we worship and we grow so that we can go, so that we can take what we're learning here, this series we've walked through about who Jesus is and what he's done, so that we can take that and we can share that with people who are desperately in need of hope. And so I want you to leave tonight knowing that God has called you to go. He's called you to take the gospel to your neighbors, and in some way, whether that's on a trip, whether that's supporting, or whether that's a lifetime, he's called you to go to the nations. And we can't neglect that call, because Jesus paid far too great a price on the cross, as we sang about, for us to keep that truth to ourselves. Because there are people that need to hear, there's people that need to know, and because of that, we have to go. So I want to bring up some friends tonight for you to hear from. I want to ask Brittany if she would come up first. You guys welcome Brittany to the stage. If you haven't met Brittany, Brittany is part of our school ministry. I'm sorry, I have your microphone. So Brittany is part of our school ministry, and she serves in missions. And so who better to talk to us than Brittany from missions? Brittany had the opportunity recently to go on a mission trip. And so just tell us a little bit about where you went and maybe a little bit about what you did on that trip.
Yeah, so I got the wonderful opportunity to go to West Africa, and it was so amazing. It was my first time going overseas, first time being on a plane, first time going on a mission trip. And so we went over there, and our sole purpose was really to walk around the streets and tell people the stories of Jesus. And so it was a really cool experience. It was very nerve-wracking, obviously. You're just going over there, and you're just hoping that you get to meet with people, and it's so great how eager they are to just talk with you.
That's awesome. So was this your first trip, or have you been on trips before?
Yeah, so this is actually my first trip overseas. I've always had a heart for missions, and I always thought that was just in local missions. But thankful for Ken, who gave me the opportunity to go overseas, and a really great experience, and it definitely changed my life.
That's awesome. So sometimes when you go to a different country, different culture, it can be a really eye-opening experience. So what was something that really stuck out to you while you were there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the whole experience was definitely eye-opening, just to the way they drive on the streets, the way that they take care of their cars, even just the taxis that we rode in. There are definitely some where the doors on both sides didn't work. And so you're just like, can someone let me out, please? It was but overall, just meeting the people there, getting to experience people who live different than you, who think different than you, that was really just eye-opening, because they are, like, the people in West Africa are just so hospitable. And they told me that before, but you can't imagine what it's like to just be with people who are willingly welcoming you into your home, into their homes. They don't even know you. They just met you. And they're like, hey, come in. There's one time where we talked with the lady, and she invited us into her bedroom, and we were sitting on her bed talking about Jesus. And so there's just so many cool opportunities, and that's just not the way that we do it here in America.
Wow. So this may put you on the spot a little bit, but I think you'll know the answer to this. Tell us a little bit about the spiritual climate there, kind of maybe some of the religious views or lack thereof.
Yeah. One thing I really love is learning about different religions. And so the main two religions in West Africa is going to be Islam and Catholicism. They're Catholic. It was really interesting being there, and you can hear the call to prayer for all the Muslim churches every day, and it was just very interesting to see. And so they will tell you that they love Jesus, but the Jesus that they know and the Jesus that we know are very different. So it was one of those hurdles that we kind of had to go through of like, yes, but this is the Jesus who's your savior. He's not just a great prophet or a great teacher. He is your savior. So that was definitely something to figure out.
So I'm sure you have lots of stories from your time there, met a lot of different people. Can you share with us maybe just a God story, something that took place on your trip or something you experienced God doing while you were there?
Yeah, we had a lot of great experiences. And there's one that I just continually think about is we met with this girl. Her name is Juliet, and she is around my age. She's like 22, and she's going to university. And our interpreters wanted to intentionally go talk with her because she is Catholic, and she does go to the Catholic church, and she does a lot of things in the church, and she always going to church. And they were just trying to explain to her that to follow Jesus, you don't have to do all these good works in order to be justified by God, because Jesus has paid that price for us. And so they were trying to explain to her that you can do all these good works, but they're not gonna save you. What saves you is Jesus. And so it was just cool, because I got to connect with her on a different level of like, hey, we're both girls, we're both single. Like, oh, one day we want a good husband with high standards. And it was just amazing. As you see, that's her right beside me. And as they were saying, you want the perfect husband. You want a husband with high standards, but there's no man that'll be able to live up to that. The only man that can live up to our high standards is Jesus. And so it was just so cool getting to talk with her and realizing that there's people over there that are my age that love the Lord. They want to serve him. They just don't know fully who he is.
Wow, that's so powerful. How many of y'all in here have been on a mission trip? A few of you in the room? How many of you in here would be interested in going on a trip? Maybe you've been thinking about it, praying about it. Awesome. So, Brittany, this is your time. Like, I want you to give us your best encouragement, your best pitch that you can give us. If there's someone in here that maybe they're contemplating going on a mission trip, but they're kind of like trying to decide if it's right for them, what would you encourage them with?
I would say just go. I always thought for the longest time, I was like, that's for some other people. That's not me. God has called me to just do ministry here in America. But God has called me to love my neighbors. And my neighbors are also in Africa. They're in Asia. They're in Brazil. My neighbors are everywhere. And so take that opportunity that you have, especially now that you guys are mostly young. I'm just making sure that you are young, to go out there and go encounter other cultures. Go share the faith that you have. God has, if you believe in Jesus and he has done amazing works in you, I would take that opportunity to go share it. Because when you go to other countries, they are excited to see you. Obviously, I'm with a lot of people that don't look like people from Africa. they're curious and they're eager to get to know people from different cultures too. And so being able to have that open door to have those conversations about Jesus, it's unmatched. And so I definitely say go for it. Take your time. If God is calling you to go, he will make a way. And so I definitely encourage you to take the opportunity.
That's awesome. So oftentimes what happens when you go on a mission trip is you go expecting that we're going to invest in these people and we're going to see lives changed. And more times than not, what happens is you come back changed as a result of what you experienced and what you encountered. And so could you share with us a little bit, how has your life changed being back home after going on the mission trip?
Yeah, honestly, there are just so many different ways. Just realizing that what we did over there, we can do over here. One of the big things that we focused on was telling stories, like I said, about Jesus and Bible stories. And it was just so easy and natural in conversations. We saw a woman who was selling fish on the side of the street. And so we told the story of when they were fishing and all these fish jumped into the boat. And we related that just to her selling fish on the side of the street. And so you can do that here. And also it really showed me that missionaries are so important, and that even if you are not able to go, I always say support the missionaries, support organizations like the IMB, because they are doing good work over there. They are very intentional and trained people who are going over there and sharing the gospel, giving up all their comforts in America just to go and serve. And so I learned so much from them and just the amazement of the way that they serve. And so if anything, support your missionaries, always do that. And also I don't know, just so many other good things.
Well, Brittany, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us. The next guest that we're going to call up is DJ. And I know that DJ actually went on the same trip as you. So any embarrassing stories about DJ that you'd like to tell us before he comes up here? Anything from the trip about DJ that you learned?
There wasn't that many things. It was just fun because DJ would just he fell asleep on the couch. There was one when he fell asleep on the plane on the way back and he has his mouth open, but that's okay. Everyone does that, right? I guess.
Yeah, sometimes it happens at work. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. And y'all give up Brittany a hand and welcome DJ up. Most of y'all know DJ. He is our LYA resident.
What's up?
This year, and so this you see weird. Him quite a bit if you've been with us on Tuesday night. But DJ also had the opportunity to go on the same trip. Yeah. And DJ, there was really a family or kind of emotional tie to this trip. Tell us a little bit about why you wanted to go.
Yeah, so my trip really even started before I even went on one. And that's back in 2018, my parents actually went on the same trip. And when they went, they met this family on the street just walking, prayer walking. When you get to when you get there, you grab all the group together and y'all just go out on the streets and y'all just pray for the trip and pray for what's to come. And while they were out, they met this couple and their name was T-John and Mary. And my parents and them just connected immediately. And there was just a real God connection there. And afterwards, they came back. And one thing that Brittany said is that they just invite you straight into their home. And that's what they did. And just like the people that Brittany met, all they had was a bedroom, maybe 6 feet. And there was not much, but all these people crammed in there with translators and their whole family. And T. John and Mary actually ended up making them dinner the next day. And they just got really connected and built a true relationship without even knowing the same language and speaking the same language. So it was just really cool to see that. And at the end of the trip, T. John and Mary had recently gotten pregnant, and they said that whether they have a boy or a girl, they name a boy after my dad, Jay, or a girl after my mom. And for anybody who knows my story, back in 2021, my mother passed away in a tragic accident. And before that, sorry, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. A year later, T. John and Mary have a baby, and it's a girl, so they name her Rachel. So my mom, super excited, crazy, ready to go back, decides she's going on another mission trip by herself, and she goes and sees baby Rachel. I don't have a picture, unfortunately. But where my story comes in is after mom passed away, T. John and Mary actually got in contact with us and were so upset because they just had such a true bond that you cannot even explain, and they didn't even speak English. They only know French and Wolof. And so they got in contact with us, and I always so badly wanted to go, but I just didn't feel like it was my calling quite yet to go. And recently getting a job with the church and just Ken coming up to me and asking me if I'd like to go, I was able to get to go. And where my story comes in is I got to go and meet T. John and Mary. If they could put the picture up, This is me and T. John and Mary and newly named Paco DJ Jr. They came up with that when I walked through the doors, and it was just real awesome to go to their house with John Dickerson, and immediately T. John was there, and he just had the brightest smile on his face. He was so excited to see me. Had never met me before, only saw pictures because my mom was crazy about me back then and would just show pictures, and that's how they related with their children. So it was just an awesome experience. I got to bond with them and just talk about the memories and cry a lot over mom because they were just so in love with her, and Mary had such a great spirit on her and just light from God. And fun story, the year after my parents went, they actually gave their lives to Christ. So they are believers, and they love the Lord and honor him every day.
So awesome. Such a powerful story, a God story, truly, to see how all of that was orchestrated. Really neat for you to be able to go and meet them, and love hearing that story. Anything else from your trip that just opportunities you got to connect with the people, to share the gospel, anything that God did while you were there?
I really wanted to bring up a picture for this story, but I didn't think I'd have enough time, but I do. So, every morning, me and John would go out. We were pairs whenever we'd go out onto the streets, and you just walk the streets and try and meet people and be friendly. And every morning, me and John would walk with our translator to this little road, and on the side of it was a bunch of young adults, actually, and they were out there washing cars. That's how they made money, and they just sit over there, wait for a taxi to come in. They wash it up real quick, get paid, and then go back onto the side of the street. So me and John would always go over there, and I'd always make fun of John, because for those who don't know John, he's this tall guy who's bald. And anybody that goes over to West Africa knows that we are not common over there. So when they see you, they'll say, "Tubab, Tubab," which means white man. And so they point at us, and I'd always make fun of John, and I'd go, "Lel Tubab," which means bald Tubab. And they'd always laugh and think that was hysterical, because you're like talking their language, like they've never seen you before, and you're already trying to communicate with them, which is just another special thing. But anyways, back to my story. We'd go and see those young adults every morning, and 90% of the time, John would go and have a group over to the side telling a story with the translator, but I wouldn't have a translator, so I'd just be sitting off to the side, just smiling at some of them, just like, "Uh-huh, yeah, I don't know what you're saying," while they're talking to me in Wolof. And through that, I literally built such a great friendship with this young adult. His name was Babacar. If anybody follows me on Instagram, I did a little bit of a story on that, and I'll have to post something now. But his name was Babacar, and he was just a super cool dude. Tried to teach me some Wolof. It did not work. I barely know English. But every morning I'd get to see him, and then all I could remember, he never told me his name until the last day I was there. And all I could remember him for is he wore a Miami Heat beanie every day. So I call him Miami Heat, and he'd go, "Hey, Tubab, Tubab." And we just connect and just smile and laugh at each other, not knowing each other's languages. But at the end, I was able to get a second translator, and I went over with Babacar and got to pray with him. And funny story, I asked Babacar how old he was, and he said, I don't remember. I don't remember when my birthday is. I know I'm 20, but like I don't know when my birthday is." So I said, "You know what, Babacar? You're going to share a birthday with me." So now Babacar's birthday is May 19th. And yeah, I built a friendship. I'll be looking for him when I go back next time.
That's awesome. I don't know if you can legally do that, but but props to you for doing that. Any encouragement you would want to give to someone that may be thinking about going, maybe they're having hesitations, maybe it's the cost, maybe it's fear, maybe they feel like they're not ready. What would you encourage somebody with that's in that place?
Yeah, so for things like the cost, the Lord will provide no matter what situation you're in. And it's a true testament to try and raise that money and have people support you during that. And we had one person that went that had no money raised, and then all of a sudden, boom, their whole thing was paid off for just through posting something on Facebook. It's really cool to just see all the community want to serve and to help to further the mission, and that's to just spread the word.
That's so awesome. Well, DJ, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Everybody give it up for DJ. All right. Well, I'm going to ask Pastor Ken if he can come up. And oh, he's coming up over this way. And they've shared some of their stories with you about their experience going on mission trips. Pastor Ken's going to share about some of the work that God is doing, but he's also going to share about some opportunities where you can get connected. So, Pastor Ken, take it over.
Switch with you. You know, it's funny how people respond to going on mission trips. Sometimes people think, I ain't going to do that. You know, there's no way. And that was me, to be honest with you. My wife, I was working here when the church was over there on Todd's Lane, and my wife said, you know, I think I'm called to go to Russia. And I'm like, I ain't going nowhere. I like it here. I am not stepping outside the United States. And my pastor came and at the time and said, you know what, I'd really like for you to consider going, and I'll pay for it. I'm like, oh, okay, you'll pay for it. It doesn't cost me anything. I'll go. And, man, I remember driving down the street in the we were in the Ukraine. It's called Zhankoy. It's the armpit of the Ukraine. It's not a very pleasant place. And I remember dealing with the underground church. And this, guys, this was a long, long time ago before y'all were born. It was back in 1993. The wall had pretty much just fallen. And so these people had been through 70 years of communism, to where the church we were working with, the pastor would carry basically the church in a suitcase because they would meet in different places because they had to meet in secret. Because now some of them did, there was a church that did have a building, but they would never get outside the building. And so they believed for somebody to be saved, they had to come into the church house to be saved. And we're like, no, you guys have freedom now. And we were out on the streets, you know, sharing, handing out Bibles, and they're kind of freaking out like we're going to get thrown in the gulag. And so, you know, it was just kind of an interesting experience. But from a guy who said, no, I don't want to go, to I remember driving down the street as we were leaving, and I'm sitting there, and the Lord just hits me and goes, you know, who is going to disciple these people? Because that church over there that you're working with, those guys are not going to go out and disciple. They're scared to death. They've had 70 years of communism. They've known friends that have been killed in them, you know, tortured, whatever, and they're not going to do it. I thought, man. So I came back here, and it's like, honey, we got to go. And she's like, I've been telling you. And so, you know, we ended up moving to Russia and all that. But, you know, there's other responses. Like one of the guys you saw in the picture, the previous picture, his name is Sean. He's going to be leading the trip. This is I'll go ahead and say it, guys. It's Senegal. It's West Africa. And it's probably one of the friendliest places we go. And Sean said, you know, I was kind of I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it's kind of like I'm a nominal Christian. I just kind of went to church some and kind of showed up. And he goes, I ended up going on this mission trip, and man, God just started grabbing me. And he said, one of the missionaries told me, if you don't do this at home, we don't like people to come here and be full-time missionaries if you don't do it at home. And so Sean thought about that. And so I was meeting with Sean last week about coming trip that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. And here's how it affected Sean. He's not going to be a missionary necessarily, but he said, you know, I came back and I thought, I can do that. And he works for the railroad. So he said, you know what I did? I said, no, what'd you do, Sean? And he said, I'm using the storying stuff that we learned on the trip. And he said, I've started a Bible study at my business. I said, you're kidding. He goes, you know what also I did? I said, what? And he goes, I've discovered a Senegalese restaurant here in Norfolk. Did you know there was one? I go, yeah, Sean, I know. It's kind of a rough neighborhood. He says, yeah, I know. You think I should go there? He goes, I want to go there, and I want to talk to him, and I want to start sharing the gospel with him. And I'm like, so he goes on a trip. I left and went overseas. He goes on a trip, and he goes, I'm going to do that right here in America. And so it was incredible to see the different responses. And so different people are going to have different responses. And, guys, we're not trying to – we don't want to turn you into missionaries. We want – well, in a way we do. We want to turn you into normal Christians is what we want to turn you into. And we want you to be going and thriving wherever God plants you. And that's what we want. And so we've got a couple of opportunities coming up. For example, you guys can do stuff right here. Like Brittany's a part of leading. Oh, by the way, where's Larray? Where are you? I didn't introduce Larray as my assistant and works in missions, and she's one of you guys. And afterwards, if you have questions, you can talk to me or Brittany or Larray or DJ. But I just wanted y'all to see her and know her. If you ever have questions, she knows more than I do right now about what's going on. And so anyway, we do a feeding once a month. We do it right here in this parking lot, and we feed people from the food bank. What a great opportunity just to come out and get to know people and to practice talking to them and to share the gospel with them. We also have a New York trip coming up in July. We'll be going and working there. Jonathan DeMonch, I don't know if y'all know Jonathan. If you don't know Jonathan, if you come to the, you know, in the worship service over across the street, his wife Melissa sings. She's one of the lead singers. Jonathan's actually from New York. He's from Long Island, and he'll be leading the trip there in July. We also have opportunities like weekly. We have ESL classes. It's kind of cool. English is a second language. And we have an apartment in Sherwood Arms apartment over here off of Warwick. And they gave us the apartment for $1 a month. And so we have ESL classes, and we teach. It's usually on Fridays. I realize a lot of you are working during those times. But maybe if you're not, like some of you might be off, maybe that's something you might want to get involved in. And here's what's kind of cool. We're starting to see people come out of that apartment complex. It's a very international setting. I mean, there are Muslims all over the place. And a lady from Afghanistan has been coming. Her daughter loves Kidville. And so she comes because of her daughter. And guys, it's been kind of neat to watch that grow and to watch her. And this last Easter, just a couple of weeks ago, she was here and she brought to our international meeting, what does she bring, Brittany? A whole table full of ladies that they were all covered. And I'm thinking, this is incredible. We've got a whole table of Muslim ladies sitting in our church because we went out and reached out. Those are some local things that are coming up. But we also have a trip like coming up to go to Morocco. And Morocco, the kids cannot go to school unless they have school supplies. So what we do is we supply school supplies, and we go up in the mountains of Morocco, and we're able to share with them. And you think, Morocco's not that dangerous, but we don't send you anywhere that we feel like you're in any kind of real danger, we think. We may not know. We just go and stupidly and get, no, I'm just kidding. We know. But it is a fascinating place because there is a lot of persecution there with them, not with us. They're not going to touch us, but with sharing the gospel. So much so, I remember I was there one time up in the Atlas Mountain. This guy says, hey, I want to take you and show you where I worship. So we're driving on these roads, and he stops in the bend of the road, and the mountain goes up this way. No trees. It's just, you know, it's just brush, underbrush and stuff. And he stops, and we get out, and he goes, this is it. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? He goes, this is where I worship. Who else joins you? Nobody. There's no other Christians to join me. So I just kind of sit in this bend of the road, in this curve, and here, and I sit here and worship. And it's just an incredible scene. And so we go up in the mountains, and we try to share the gospel with them. We try to just say, hey, we're here. We love you guys. And that is a great trip. That's not, if you don't can't walk a little bit, you know, if you're not in a little bit of fitness, we encourage you to be in that. I think most of y'all are, and so you would have no problem. That's coming up in September. We also have a trip to West Africa that all these guys have been talking about, and I see Paige over here too. She's been there with our 2414 student training program along with Lauren and some others, and the ones you already heard, they've already been there, and they can attest it's probably one of the friendliest places you've ever been. I mean, they will come up and say, hey, Tubob, come here. What are you doing here, man? What's going on? And you just sit and talk to him for hours. It's incredible. We've just seen God do amazing things. The only thing I would say about that trip is I'm pretty much filled up with ladies right now. I need guys. I need a couple of guys to go on that. Morocco's wide open. Senegal, I need a couple of guys to go because we've got Sean and six ladies right now, or five ladies. So I need some help, guys. And then we've got a cool trip coming that is brand spanking new. And this year, I'm not going on any trips. I vowed I just got back from Iraq, and so I'm just kind of taking a year off for a little bit. And this is to Nepal. And what we're doing up in, I don't know if you've ever heard of Kathmandu. It's a big launching pad for where a lot of the hikers, mountain climbers go up in the Himalayas. And we've got a family there that was at our York River campus, but they were also at Greenbrier campus, and they're living there. And then we're going to go up in there. John Dickerson's going to be our lead pastor. A guy named Jeff Britton's going to be leading the trip. And then we need about four people to go. I think we've already got another lady. We need a couple of guys to go. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be teaching pastors that are, they're not underground pastors. They're pastors there in that Buddhist country. But they're very immature. I mean, I don't mean they're immature in the sense that they're silly immature. They're just immature in their faith because they don't have a lot of access to the scriptures. They don't have a lot of access to teaching. Things that you guys would say, oh, that's normal. Everybody knows that. They don't know that. And so John's going to be teaching, but we need some people that will help work with the kids and work with the youth. And I've been told that a lot of them do speak English. And so it's not, they're Nepalese kids, but a lot of them do speak English, and we'll have translators. So we need some people to go, guys and girls, to go do that. And then the last one is a trip to Israel. They'll be going up into Israel to work in Bethlehem with Muslims up in Bethlehem. And they're going to be doing kids camps, and I guess you'd call them young middle school type age kids and stuff like that, young kids and older, and be working with them to share the gospel. So those are a couple of things coming up. And you think, well, that's not me. I can't afford that. Here's what I would say. I don't want people to sign up and go just because they want an adventure. That's not what we're looking for. But here's what I would say. If you're on the edge and you're like, I don't know, I can't afford it, I say step out. I just say take a step. Because if you're willing to do what we ask you to do, it's incredible to watch what God does. And that's one of the things I would say about being involved in missions locally and being involved in missions overseas. Part of the thing, and Corbett said, it changes us. We think we're going there to share the gospel, but you know what it did and it does in our lives? It changes us. So my challenge to you guys is to consider this. And again, there are people who say, you know what, I want to support a trip, but I don't know who to support. And what we try to do, if you'll do what we ask you to do in raising your funds, some of you may can afford to pay it, I don't know. But we tell people, if you can afford to pay it, pay it. But if you can't, look at raising your funds. And guys, it'll change your life. I haven't seen too many people come back and not be changed in some way. And here's what we're looking for. We're looking for world Christians. We're looking for people that come back and don't just have a Hampton Roads view of Christianity, that it's so locked in that it can't expand and go, okay, I understand that Muslim guy now, Ibnu's mom in Senegal, who persecuted him, put him with a Muslim imam to try to bring him back out of Christianity, and he had to live with that guy and hear that guy every day trying to say, you need to come back to Islam, get out of Christianity. I mean, that's the kind of stuff when you hear that, you go, wow, there's people all the world. But here's another thing. God, I think for us, we have failed so much to go around the world, and especially to hard places. That's what Liberty has done. We've tried to say we want to go where the gospel's not. And Americans have so much avoided that, that what's happening is we're starting to see people come here. Now, I'm not here to talk about immigration. I'm not here to give a viewpoint on that. Here's what I'm here to say. They're here. And so we've got to learn to minister to them. And when we become a world Christian, when we become aware, we become like, I'm not afraid to ask where you're from. Like, I go to Walmart not too long ago. It was probably about a year ago. I was talking to a guy. I said, man, I love your accent. I've been all over the world. Where's your accent from? And he goes, I'm from Damascus. I go, oh, my gosh. I've been on the street called Straight. I bought me a chess set there. I love Damascus. And his eyes lit up. And he's going, oh, man, that's cool. He goes, but I had to leave. Of course, there was a war, right? And so he says, I had to leave Damascus, and I went to a city in northern Iraq. And I go, what city? And he goes, Erbil. And I go, oh, my gosh, I've been to Erbil 3 times. It's my favorite city all over the Middle East. And he's like flipping out, and we're making a connection, you know. And unfortunately, there were people behind us. I didn't get a chance. But normally when that happens, I'm like, man, let's get together. Let's talk. Let's go have coffee. And it creates in you I'm not afraid to reach out now. I know how to story this, or I know how to engage you. So, guys, I hope you'll be challenged to at least consider doing something locally or going internationally. And I think either way, it'll change your life. So, Corbett, thanks, buddy. And I'll be here if y'all got questions. So,
thanks, sir. Thank you, Pastor Ken. And I just want to second what he said and just encourage you. Before you leave tonight, take the time, talk with Pastor Ken, talk to Larray, talk to Brittany. You can come and talk with me if you have questions, and I might not have the answers, but I'll get you connected with the right person. But just want to encourage you, what do you do with what you received tonight? What is your action step? Obviously, the first step is you can talk with someone, but I want to challenge you. You can't leave here tonight and go on a trip tomorrow, but you can start living out some of these principles. I love what Ken said. He said, they don't want people that are sharing the gospel there, but not at home. And I think the reality is, if you're not sharing the gospel here, you're probably not going to go halfway across the world and share the gospel. And so, who is it that God's placed in your life? What is it that you need to be doing right now so that you can be sharing the gospel with people around you, so that you can be sharing what Jesus has done in your life with others? I want to challenge you that as you go about your day, looking forward to tomorrow, that you start your day by praying, God, send somebody on my path that I can share the gospel with today. Make it clear to me who that coworker is that I'm supposed to share with, and then pray for the courage and the boldness to be obedient when God reveals to you who that person is, when that person comes across your path. Maybe the step for you tonight is you're in here and you're thinking, I don't even know how to share the gospel with someone. I don't even know what I would say. I would say that's an excuse, but don't let it continue to be an excuse. If that's you, come and talk with me. Come and talk with Pastor Ken. We would love to set time aside where we can help share with you how you can share the gospel, how you can share your story. We want to equip you to be able to go and to make disciples, to be able to go and share Jesus with people. And my prayer really for this group is that here at Liberty at our church, that it would really be a testimony that the young adults there truly love Jesus and they live out their faith. That when we have the food drive on Saturdays, that there's a bunch of young adults here. That whenever there's an opportunity to serve, that there's young adults there serving. That when there's mission opportunities, they've got young adults that are ready to do that. Why? Because you probably have more time in this season of life than you will in any other that you can use to serve. And I want to see you use it to further God's kingdom. I want to see you use it to impact the lives of others. And so I just pray that our, really the example that we would set as young adults in the church is that we are people that are passionate about our walk with the Lord and we're living it out. We're serving him. We're serving others. We're going on the mission. We're sharing what Christ has done in our life because we want others to encounter him and to live for him. And so tonight, as we wrap up, I encourage you to talk with Pastor Ken, Larray, Brittany, they're here to connect with you. Also, our new group semester kicked off this week. So if you're looking for a small group, I'll be out in the gathering area. Kimber will be out there. We have a list of our groups. We can help you find the best spot for you to get connected. And as you heard earlier tonight, we do have a cereal bar as you leave. I love having cereal at night. I don't know about you guys. It's kind of a cheesy thing, but hopefully you can grab a bowl of cereal, sit down, have a conversation, connect with someone, and just have a good time. But don't stay too long because we'll have to lock up before too much longer. But we love you guys. Thanks so much for worshiping with us tonight. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you were encouraged and convicted through this message. Want to know more information about Liberty Young Adults? Visit libertylive.church/youngadults or follow us on Instagram at libertylya. See you next week.